Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunatu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mavirishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a western side of the ocean, second wave, chapter 37, verse 83. Another example, though Bali was severely cursed by Sukracharya, who was flaming with anger, and though I stole from Bali the three worlds who are playing a trick on him as Vamanadeva Avatar, and though I then criticized him for not being able to fulfill his promise, and finally bound him up with ropes made of snakes, his attachment for me increased twofold. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna himself, after seeing Bali Maharaj, told Uddhava, "My dear friend, how can I express the glorious characteristics of Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana? Although the king of the Asuras, king of the Suras, demigods, was cursed by his son, king of the Suras, was cursed by this son of Virochana, and although I cheated him in my incarnation of Vamana, taking away his dominions throughout the universe, and although I criticize him for not fulfilling his promise, I have just now seen him in his kingdom, and he freely expressed his love for me." So it just means that how they're stable, no matter what it is. Because the point before is, whether things are nice or not nice, those in Dasi Ras, and they go on, because it's the service that's important to them. And so the service can go on in any situation. So it's not that if a certain situation is not nice, you can't serve. It just means there's extra service. So then they're quite comfortable. 3.2.84. Sneha. When prema becomes extremely thick and the heart melts, it is called sneha. In this state, one cannot tolerate even a moment's separation from the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. When such a feeling of love becomes intensified, it is called affection. In that affectional stage, one cannot bear separation from Krishna even for a moment. 3.2.85.
Oh, yes. Can we say that all the rasas except for Shanta, they base themselves on Dasya? In a sense that there's
no,
always...
It means that they're all... Yeah, yes, you could. Yes, you could say that. But same time as all those are based on Shanta.
Oh, okay.
Because Shanta means that you're appreciating the transcendental position of the Lord and yourself and the glories of that. In other words, the sat aspect becomes the more prominent. It, you know, you're still sat, chit, and ananda there, but the sat aspect is the prominent. So it's the foundation of all the others. But they don't do any activity, you know, specific service. That means they are remembering the Lord and chanting and all these. But it's not that. That's just, that you could say is an anubhava of their feelings, that they're going to sing and dance and all these things. Yeah. So then you see is that when you come into then the next position, the chit, when that becomes prominent, then that produces the dasya, sakya, and vatsalya rasas. Because that's the prominent aspect there. So you see is because of the activity and all that, then the transcendental position is not a focus for them like that. Does that make sense? Or it becomes less. Dasya may have a little bit more, but when you get into friendship and parental, it's not really an important aspect. Though you're still situated transcendentally. And then because of the activity and all that, that further intensity, then it will create more pleasure for Krishna, and therefore the ananda you experience is also greater. But you're talking about greater within, you know, unlimited, you know, transcendental. You know, like perfect, more perfect, most perfect, that kind of thing. Then, when you get the conjugal ras, then the ananda part is the prominent. And the sat and the chit are just supportive of that. Does that make sense? So that's explained Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the, I think, Dasamul Tattva or Niryas, one of those. Yes?
Also, we see it described that Shantaras means there is appreciation for the Lord, and also they are fixed on the form of the Lord.
Yes.
So that means, like, all the tattva for all the rasa, person, all the rasas is already fixed because they're all fixed in the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So only then how they taste the rasa, that's where the change is. So the base is the knowledge about the Lord is perfect for.
Yes. So the form becomes the main. So the qualities, pastimes are appreciated, but they're seen in the context of the form. Does that make sense? So all these things, since it's about Krishna, it's perfect. That's how you get, in Vaikuntha, they can see that Krishna is an expansion of Mahanarayan. And it works, because there is an aspect like that, where Krishna does perform pastimes. But it's in lower Goloka, it's not in Braj. And so then in that way you can say it's an expansion there. And so it does work. Because he has those features, because they're only appreciating that aspect. But at the same time, as when you say Krishna, he's the origin and then everybody else is coming. That also is extended. So it's just a matter of where you want to taste rasa. If you want to taste Aishwarya, then it'll be the one way. Because you see, as Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka, they're expanding from the Mahasankarshan in Mathura. Right? And so then you get that flavor there. So then you can say, yes, that's how it expands. But the whole point is then, but there's Krishna's the original. That's why if you give these others the Brahma Samhita, they won't understand it. I remember it's one. He was the main pundit of which one was the Mat? You know, Udupi? No, never been? Oh, well, there's the Krishna Mat, and then around that are the eight mats of the Asta Mat of the other. You know, that they have all the different acharyas that are there. And so the one that directly opposite that one, I don't know if that was that Pettimore? Pettimore, whatever, there's one there. So he was the main pundit there, but he was also a very good singer. He's the one that taught Subramanya Swami to sing. You know him?
Yeah.
So he was very expert at singing. He knew Samaveda and all that. And, you know, like this, he was very qualified. And so I wanted him to, I think, chant some, do a gamma kind of chanting of, in rag of Brahma Samhita. And so he did it, but then afterwards he commented, there's something wrong with these verses. He says, you want me to chant this, but, you know, just telling you there's something wrong here. Because he couldn't understand how Krishna is the original one. Yes.
When I was going to Chaturvyuha, little more like to understand better, then I could see that in all the other sampradayas also, there is this aspect of Krishna as supreme. But the terminology they use is little different. Like, this is called Paravasudev.
Yeah.
And then they know the Chaturvyuha, there is something beyond Chaturvyuha. But then they somehow twist and bring it to Narayan or something.
Yeah, so it's Mahanarayan. That's as far as they get. They don't understand. But, because the Chaturvyuha is there, and then there's Mahanarayan. But they don't get back to that Balaram and then Krishna. Yes. They just take it that Balaram and Krishna in Aishwarya are expanses of Sankarshan and Vasudev. So they only approach that aspect. So they're not actually approaching the original form of Krishna.
So, they don't accept Lagu Bhagavatam and the works of the acharyas?
That, I don't think they even read like that. I know they read Jiva Goswami. Mm. You know, but
it's like they change the terminology, so for them it fits in, even if there is a direct verse from some of the Puranas or anything because they use different terminology. Than
yeah, they'll use different. It's their hermeneutics how they'll interpret it. So when they say it means this, then they say that means this aspect, because they're just taking Mahanarayana as the top. So even though they're in Vaikuntha, they know that the Narayana that they're worshipping there has expanded from this Chaturvyuha, you know, like that, who's expanded from the Mahachaturvyuha, expanded from Mahanarayana. Like that. So from that much it's the same. But just then before that Balaram, before that Krishna, that they're not catching. Yeah. But you know, it works for them because in Aishwarya, the other two you can't see them in Aishwarya. So even if you see Krishna and Balaram, so you accept them Vrindavan pastimes, you're seeing in Aishwarya. That means you're seeing Mathura and Dwarka. You're not seeing Braj. So even if they accept that aspect, that they don't have a problem that there's Krishna and Balaram and pastimes and Vrindavan and Nanda Maharaj and all that. They have their fine with that. But because they're seeing through the eyes of this Aishwarya, they're actually dealing on this lower Goloka. Does that make sense? You know, or as I think who was it? Before we were, maybe it was Jiva Goswami, someone is mentioning that there's Braj and there's Goloka. So they're making that division. So Goloka means wherever there's that element of Aishwarya to any degree. Braj means where that's not present. Like that. So you do have Vrindavan pastimes, full Vrindavan pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and everything that aren't Braj. So for those who are into the Vaikuntha aspect or the Aishwarya aspect, and they're worshipping Radha and Krishna. Their deity may be Radha and Krishna, but they're worshipping this aspect.
You mean they worship Lakshmi Narayan?
It's Lakshmi Narayan, but it's as Radha and Krishna, performing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Full on Radha and Krishna, going out, rasa dance, the whole thing. But there's the Aishwarya is part of it. I think Jiva Goswami, in one of his works, that explains about then Radharani goes on a swan airplane with 10 million maid servants to meet Krishna for the rasa dance. You know, so it's an Aishwarya. So that opulence is there, but it's all the passive. So it'll have more sweetness than these other Dwarka and Mathura, but at the same time, it still has that Aishwarya aspect.
Which means they actually don't see Braj.
They don't see Braj, no. But the point is you can talk about Radha Krishna pastimes to them, and they're quite comfortable with it. Yeah. They just see it through the vision of Aishwarya. Like that. No, sweetness becomes prominent. But so many in their line are worshippers of Radha and Krishna, you know, in these Vaikuntha lines. But still, that aspect of Radha Krishna is there. It's not Braj. That's why then when I say Braj, you can say Vrindavan, and that's that generic aspect of pastimes. For us, it means Braj. But it can also include these other aspects of Vrindavan. So that's why then when they're being very specific, the acharyas will say Braj of Vrindavan, Braj of Radha Krishna. So that's why you want to be very careful. So those who get too distracted by, like Rukmini Dhyana and Dwarka Dhyana, Rukmini Puja, these kind of things, you have to be. That's why we don't get involved in them. Because then it gets you distracted from what you're doing. Like some devotees, they don't understand Sakriya Sar, that you're installing Agni in the fire. And then you're asking Agni to carry these offerings to who you're offering to. So if you're offering to Krishna, he'll carry them to Krishna. If you're offering to the Goswamis, he'll carry them there. So because of their training with the Sri Vaishnavas, and they're talking about our devotees, training with the Sri Vaishnavas won't deal with demigods, then, you know, why would you put Agni in the fire? So they'll put Lakshmi Narayan. You know, which is a bona fide technique, because you can't put Radha and Krishna in the fire. They're too delicate. Lakshmi Narayan, yes, but not like that. But then, with that, then they're doing it because they're Radha and Krishna. But then there gets that flavor, is that, you have to do it with this technical kind of thing. And so then it's going to make a problem for them to get to spontaneous devotional service until they give up this particular view or this particular attachment. You know, because you see in Brudge, they don't have any problem with demigods. You know, they come along all the time and the cowherd boys goof on them. You know, they properly behave, they've been trained. And so when Krishna's coming back with the cows, the demigods come down, you know, in the evening, demigods come down, offer their prayers and this and that while they're coming back. And all that, and then after they've, you know, gotten their benedictions and leave, then the cowherd boy's like, "Wow, did you see the guy with four heads? You know, yeah, what about the guy with all the eyes on his body? You know, like that." They just goof. So they're there. You know, Radharani goes out and goes to the Surya temple to do the puja, and that's where then they can meet and everything. You know, so it, for us, we don't worship demigods. But for us, they're not. We don't have that. How do you say? Not phobia.
Paranoia.
But yeah, I guess it is. It's just that a complete avoidance of the demigods. So for us, that's why the Vedic and that kind of thing works very well with us. So for us, is the Bhagavat. We use the Pancharatrik. It's a very prominent thing, but we don't. Well, the Vedic for us works, but we see it in the context of how it's used in. Brudge. So that throws people off because, yes, we accept Varnashram, but only how it's connected to Brudge. So then those who are totally into Varnashram, they don't accept it. And then those who are just, just into Brudge and we don't get into anything Vedic enough, then they can't understand that, you know, that they think we're too Vedic. So that's the thing, is that it's not, is that it goes very nicely because Brudge is the basis of all realms, all everything that's in, everything's coming from Brudge. You know, so like you could say, how could these cowherd boys goof on that? Because these demigods are expansions of the cowherd boys. You know, the residents of Vrindavan. That's who. You know, so they can goof.
It proves the absolute necessity to never step out of line and follow the acharyas all the time.
Yes.
Because if you stop, you know, wandering around, making your own research,
who knows where you end up.
That's right.
That's the whole thing. Is that I remember once we had some devotees that had, they caught the wave of that, you know, that kind of whole flavor of, you know, the quick run to sannyas through the Gaudiya Math, you know, and other kind of aspects like that. And so they were they weren't staying in ISKCON, they were staying at the Gaudiya Math, and even that they can't stay at the Gaudiya Math, they're too independent, so they have their own maths, but they align themselves and identify themselves. You know, that's why you see when the Vishva Vaishnava, the World Vaishnava Association, that the prominent thing is we don't control you. You know, we don't like that. Everybody's independent. Instead of just, you know, it's about, you know, Vaishnavas of the world coming together to glorify the Lord and bring us closer to the Supreme. And that will be mentioned along the line. But the first thing is, no, you don't have to worry. It's not an administrative control. We're just trying to get together for some sangha. Right? Because all these wallahs are so independent, they don't even function under the mats that they left ISKCON for. Right? And so then, we're in Hungary, been there because we had Janmashtami and then Janmashtami and the Vyasa Puja. So the next day we're discussing in Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And then, somehow or another when I was speaking, I was making the point that we want to be standing behind Srila Prabhupada. Then we know we're sitting there. Because otherwise, if you go off with someone else other than Srila Prabhupada, you're not standing in the same place. You'll be behind someone else, and that line and all that, and that group, it'll be different. You know? And so then, because we would stay until Radhastami. That's how the schedule would run then. Before Radhastami, then somehow or another somebody brought a message that one of these you know, prominent devotees said, no, but we'll all be in the same place. So they're under this illusion that, no, it's just, it doesn't matter where you are, you're all in the same place. But the point is it's very specific, very personal. Rupa Goswami Radhakrishna Ganu Dashnipika, he mentions his 5,000 to 6,000 maidservants. Not more. So that means there's unlimited maidservants. That means it's another manifestation. So that means that you're with these devotees. That'll be connected there. You'll be with those. So you may be friendly. Now and again, you're doing some bigger program. You get together. When they do Maharas, all the groups get together. So millions and millions of gopis get together for Maharas. But if it's not Maharas, you're going to be doing it in your own scene with your own group. So it's not going to be the same. So if you want to be standing there with Srila Prabhupada, then you stick to that. Otherwise, who knows where you'll end up.
So the menu of Prabhupada says we'll have our own Eastern.
Yeah, so that'll be there. You know, and so then, and the point is it'll be those devotees that we know and we're working like that and Srila Prabhupada. You know, and it's got so big, there's millions and millions of people. There'll be all that in that kind of groups who you work with and who anybody else works with and that. But Srila Prabhupada will always be the main one. But they're standing behind someone else other than Srila Prabhupada. They'll say, oh, I'm his disciple. Yeah, but you're standing with this other person. You know, that's noted. Brajbasi's work on that. You know, the place is, it's like this. If you have a rivalry between the groups of gopis, and that, so that means then political considerations are important. Who you can talk to, who you deal with, who and all this and that, and who you deal with on what things. Like, you know, okay, you're there in Mother Jashoda's house, and you're cooking breakfast for Krishna. You know, 100 pots are done, and these on that. Other gopis might or might not be there and taking part, so there might be some cooperation there because of that commonality of Krishna. But the point is it's a different group. It's a different mood. So there is sometimes cooperation and overlap, but it's not that when they leave Nanda Bhavan, you know, one group leaves with Radharani, another group leaves with others. You know, never the twain shall meet. So it's only during when there's some common, you know, greater work, then they'll work together because Krishna is the center. But otherwise, you have your particular group, particular mood, particular flavor. So that means if someone, you know, claims to be in this group and that group, and I'm in all groups like that, who's going to take them seriously? So whether they'll be in any group, that's another thing. You know, like that, they may be on the edge, but you have to be very, very careful. So that's why you situate yourself with Prabhupada. And then you can take advantage of what the acharyas are saying and all that, and that works very fine. You don't have to stand behind these other people to appreciate this. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that you may gain things from them, associate with them, and so many nice things that you may pick up, but still you're standing with Prabhupada. But what I talk about, those who aren't standing with Prabhupada, they appreciate and this and that, but it's a fine line. Because that's the thing, though. It's the mood, it's the attitude. Like when Prabhupada opens the introduction to Gita, the first thing is the spirit. That's the whole thing. These other things all are then applying that. Because depending on your mood, that's what it depends on how it comes. Does that make some sense?
So you're cooking breakfast for Krishna, and then a group of gopis turn up and say, who are they? Saraswati Gaudiamat. Give them the vegetables to cut.
Like, yeah, so the thing, you have to be very, very careful. But it doesn't mean that there's not going to be some pastime when your people are going to be there, you know, and with Radharani and doing all the different things like that. But it's not necessarily going to, Prabhupada's not going to be around. You know, on some, you know, bigger occasion, it may be. But the point is your allegiance is there. It's personal. It's real. You can't just now throw out just philosophical and impersonal. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, you are, whatever it is, you are me and I am you and we are all together. You know, you can't do that. Yes.
How can we say that those who reject the gurus will be there at all?
That's another thing. I'm just trying to be nice here. Because there's a wide range of these individuals. You know? So that's the whole thing, is you have to see is that, yes, they're all Vaishnavas and they're all bona fide Vaishnavas. Therefore, then there's no problem in their position and all that. It's just that who you're going to be. It's just like you have your family, someone else has their family. Yours is a bona fide family, theirs is a bona fide family. But when you go home, which house do you go to? You know, so that's all. It's just that. It means all these things. Bhaktivinoda Kaur, in one of his books, I think it's maybe an introduction of that, but he makes the point that, you know, we respect all these other personalities, all the other groups and all that. But that's it. We respect from a distance. You know, they do what they do. We do what we do. We're not going to do what they do. We do what our line is. We respect them because they're all serving Krishna. They're all great devotees. They're all, you know, pure devotees, pure and all devotees. That we don't have a doubt of. But it's still, we have our lioness. It's not just this impersonal philosophical thing. It's a personal thing. Therefore, Krishna is a person, Radharani is a person, Rupa Krishna, and then you have a particular relationship with those particular devotees. And so, therefore, you are connected in a particular way. And you're happy that way, because this is the group. This is the... Does that make sense? Yes. No?
Discours. So then, sometimes devotees mix two things and it creates confusion when we talk about loyalty. There's a loyalty in terms of diksha, mm-hmm. and there's loyalty in terms of shiksha.
Yes.
And, you know, mixing all together, then some people say, oh, you're not loyal to your diksha guru, you don't hear from him regularly, you hear from other people. So how can we, you know, although we didn't take, you know, diksha from other people, but, you know, shiksha being the dynamic part, how can we reconcile?
You just see, the point is, it has to be for us. The main thing with us is that, you know, that we have the founder Acharya, then it has to be in line with what the founder Acharya says. So that means, let's say, within the society, I don't know how many gurus we have now.
52?
Yeah. I'd say it's up.
75.
75?
85.
Yeah. So like that. So whoever your diksha and siksha guru is, the point is they're all supposed to be following and giving Prabhupada's instructions. So that's what Prabhupada says. See, the founder Acharya gives the instructions. He sets the standard. Then all other preachers and gurus, you know, diksha or siksha, then following, then they give relevant instruction. So in other words, relevant means you make Prabhupada's teachings relevant to the individual you're talking to, the individual group.
Yes.
You don't make up instructions. Yes. So from that point, it doesn't really matter. Means, you know, naturally one is going to regard one's diksha guru like that because he's connecting to the line and to the deity worship and all that. But the point is the siksha that you would get from the diksha guru has to be in line with Prabhupada's. And any siksha gurus that you have then have to be in line with Prabhupada's. So that aspect doesn't change. So there's not really much of a problem there. So this whole loyalty and all that means... The point is you're working under, and it's with the blessing of the Diksha Guru, but the point is Siksha is just where you can get Siksha so that you can move forward. So if your Diksha Guru comes around to your zone once every few years, but then the Siksha Gurus are there more regularly, you're hearing from them. What's the problem? That's why it's Sankirtan, it's this greater society. So we see, this is already explained by Haridas Thakur. In Harinam Chintamani, about the Adi Guru, then the Sad Guru, and then the preachers. Mm-hmm. So it's already there. So now, where the weakness, what I'm talking about is not within this context. I'm talking about within the context, you're not actually following the Founder Acharya. You're following other members of the Gaudiya line that aren't accepting the Founder Acharya as the Founder Acharya. And so they'll say, oh, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the Founder Acharya. But he's not. Like that. Because then if you're saying him, you go, well, how can he be so offensive? It's Bhaktisiddhanta. How can he be so offensive? It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How can he be so offensive? It's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. How can he be so offensive? It's Narottam Das Thakur. How can he be so... You just keep on going until it's Rupa Goswami. How can he be so offensive? No, it's Lord Chaitanya himself. You know, so that's the whole point, is that the Founder Acharya is a position that... It's not that they're greater than anyone else. It's just that all the teachings of the Sampradaya, you can understand them in Kali Yuga by measuring them from the perspective of the Founder Acharya. It's just like Ramanujacharya is junior to Yamunacharya and the Alwars. No one is going to make any argument against that. But he's the Founder Acharya. You understand what Yamunacharya said. You understand what the Alwars are saying by understanding how Ramanujacharya has presented it. Mm-hmm. Same with Madhvacharya. For us, in the Gaudiya line, Srila Prabhupada is the Founder Acharya. You can say whatever you like and all that, but even of those, the other Gaudiyas, those that follow the process that Prabhupada gave, they actually are successful. The mats go on, they can move around the world, make devotees open temples. And if they don't, they just follow the idea before what Srila Prabhupada gave, then there's some little thing somewhere with an unfinished temple where, you know, the bhajan goes on and they have their rice and dal. It's very straightforward. Anybody who's intelligent, even the Gaudiya Maha, understands that. So it's not that, oh, he's our guru, that's right. No, there's a Founder Acharya, that's just the way it goes. Because you have to be able to apply it anywhere. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is given that, you know, what's the essence and all that, then, you know, this drishya vichara, how to see everything connected to Prabhupada, I mean, to Krishna. You know, like Prabhupada so many times uses that, called Sarvam Kalvinam Brahma. Everything's Krishna. So therefore anything can remind you of Krishna. So that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point, is that your senses are working because of this connection. It's Krishna's senses. So he's Hrishikesha, but he gives us our quota of Hrishika. And then we use Hrishikena. We use it in Hrishikesha's service. Like that. And so that aspect of movement, that's then how we're going to reduce our attachment to the material world and all that, and get the mercy of Lord Nityananda so that we can then appreciate Vrindavan. Then following the Goswamis, then you'll understand Radha and Krishna's pastimes. But how is that going to be gotten? It's going to be through seeing how Prabhupada is given, how you approach the Acharyas. Otherwise, then, if you don't approach like that, so many times you've seen that devotees have, well, you know, Baladev says this, and Vishwanath says that, and then Jiva Goswami says this, and Prabhupada says that, and it's all different. There's no difference at all. They're all saying exactly the same thing. So if you can't see it that way, that's the point. Don't read anybody else, just read Prabhupada. If you can see that what is the same. You know, that's one of the main points of this course, of running the two parallels, so you can see is that what Prabhupada is saying is just making accessible what the Acharyas say. And what the Acharyas say, Prabhupada is following that. It's not different. You know, people like to say, oh, Prabhupada, you know, did something new, something different, because if he did, then I can do it. You know, I can make it up. So one has to be very, very careful in that. So in this is that you see this as a prominence and flavor, like you were talking about. So when the prominence is that sat, you end up with the shanta rasa. When it's the chit, you end up with those middle three rasas. And then also, whether it's more towards sat or more towards ananda. So in other words, dasya will be within the chit, but it'll still have a good flavor of the sat. Like that, when you go up to friendship, then it'll have less of that, and you know, ananda will be a little bit more. You go to the parental, ananda will be more of the chit part. You know, I mean, the chit part's there, but the shanta aspect, that becomes, you don't see it as prominently. Then when you go into the conjugal, then it goes on, ananda's the central. So it's just that's where they expand from. Those rasas expand from those aspects, because everything is sat, chit, ananda. It's all Krishna, And so therefore, where they come from, the flavors, the combinations, everything's Satchitananda. So everything, everywhere is all Satchitananda. It's just a matter of where you're going to, just like you have the three features of Krishna. You know, you have him as the original personality of Godhead. Then you're going to have his first expansion. Then you're going to have his avatar. So then he's Ananda. Balaram is going to be Chit, and then the Maharayan is going to be Sat. You know, that's where their main flavors are. So you know, it's everything's going by Satchitananda. Everything's Sambandhavide Prajna. That's why Lord Chaitanya says in the scriptures, all they talk about is these three things. It literally means that. I always thought that there was only one verse like that, but then when we're going through the shlokas for Chaitanya Charitamrita, the different, conversations, it comes up like at least three times. Where he's, you know, making this point, there's only Satchitananda. There's only Sambandhavide Prajna. So these things are there. So therefore, then we're taking it. You're taking the gopis. That's within that Ananda. It has a very specific flavor. Then within that, then it's going to be Radharani. Then within that, it's going to be, you know, following Rupa Goswami. And then within that, it's going to be following our Acharya. You know, so it's very specific, because it means you take three quarters and one quarter of unlimited, right? So, you know, we're within the one quarter, and, you know, it's pretty big. Then you take the three quarters. Now, the three quarters of unlimited, Goloka is 51% of that. So that means it's, Goloka itself is bigger than the whole material manifestation, the whole Mahatattva.
You mean 51 out of the three quarters?
Out of the three quarters. So that means that's bigger than the Mahatattva.
That's much, much bigger.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's one, basically one and a half, more than one and a half. So then, and remembers that spiritual world is 9 out of 10 are there, and 1 out of 10 is here. So that means you have 9 times more people there than here.
This is only a figure of speech, because in terms of dimension, it's unlimited.
Yes, but I'm saying the whole point is that we're talking about, they don't have a problem hanging out together. You know, it's like joint families. You know, it's 50 people in the family, and they hang out in one house, and they're cool. You know, we wish to kind of in the West, if there's, you know, more than one person in the house, there's problems. You know, so. You know, you have to know the checking order, but you know that. You know, this is mine, and this drawer is yours.
The whole one?
And still in that drawer some items don't belong to you, so don't touch it. That's my experience.
Just to make sure you know. Just to keep things in context. Does that make sense? So now, and then now we're taking this place, and it's divided into four. So you're going to have Dwarka, you're going to have Mathura, you're going to have Sweta Dweep, and you're going to have Braj. Right? And so then in Braj, so it's huge. So that means that all these unlimited pastimes with unlimited devotees are going there. So you want to be in a very specific place. Right. If it's just a matter of generic, like I remember one devotee used to always everything just say Narayan, Narayan like this. And I said, aren't you worried that you might go to Vaikuntha? And he says, I couldn't care less. As long as I get out of the material world, I'm good with anywhere on the other side of the Raja. And so, yeah, but you'll go to Vaikuntha. You won't go to, because if that's the thing, you'll just go to where's the, you know, the common standard. Someone remembers, you know, like that, they go there, you know. So that's the thing. No, but you remember Krishna, then. You know, it's like that pastime where that one devotee, I think it was Prajapati, that he prayed to the Supreme.
Atreya Rishi.
Prayed to the Supreme. Atreya. He got three, because which one?
Oh, Atri Muni.
Atri Muni. Yeah, so like that, it's very specific. So that's why we're being given very specific. We're following the Goswamis. Prabhupada says, we're following the Goswamis, you know, headed by Rupa Goswami, following the path chalked out by Jiva Goswami.
Mm.
He makes that point. Mm. So in other words, we're following how Jiva has revealed it. That's how we're following Rupa. So that's the... Yes.
Okay, so from Prabhu's point, let's say you're very conversant with Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
And what he has introduced of the other Acharya's teachings and everything, and you're listening to someone who is very well versed in Prabhupada's books, who gives a lecture, and then suddenly you hear something and you think, hang on a minute, where is this coming? Right? So this is not Prabhupada. So you're listening to some shiksha.
Yes.
And then something is inserted.
Yes.
And then you do your research.
Yeah.
And you find out this is coming from Varshana or this is coming from Radhakund.
Yeah.
My question is it dangerous?
Yes. Because it's just like this. Let us say I go, you know, I'm in one place in the world. And let's say we're in Europe, right? So then euros is there. So, but I have picked up some money in Japan. So I have yen. Yen is totally bona fide. But can I go into a shop and put down yen? You know, can I go to, you know, someplace in Paris or Frankfurt and stick down yen? No. Maybe if you're in Harrods in London, that you can buy anything in yen. Yeah, but the exchange rate may not be quite what you'd expect. Okay, yes, that'll be 100 rupees, so you give 100 yen, yes. You know, so it hasn't been converted. So the point is if there is something that they know, it means, let's say, they've heard something in Varshana or Radhakund or Govardhan or wherever it is that they, you know, pick these things up. So now the point is how do our acharyas explain that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the acharya said, how has Prabhupada presented that? So if you bring it back to there, then you can see is I never thought about this, but you know they're totally into that. So then you know they say someone's hanging out at the tongue of Govardhan. Right? Because that's prominent for them. There may be some aspect within the pastime that they put a prominence on that we maybe hadn't thought about it from that angle. So then bring it back, but you have to translate it all the way back. And then it's just, they made you aware. You know, it's just like I remember once on Sankirtan, you know, you're in the parking lot, you know, coming out from those big stores and that, you know. And then, because I was new at it, I wasn't very good at it. And so then, you know, you ask the guys that are good at it, so what's your line? So, you know, how do you start the conversation? And so then somebody told me, we can always ask about the time. You know, they're just giving that as an example. So then, you know, having asked, you know, so then at some point, you know, halfway through the day or something like that, then some you know, elderly, you know, like lady comes out. And, you know, probably it's like the 50th, 60th, or who knows, person that I've asked the time to. So I just ask the time. And then she just stops and look at me and says, do you actually want to know the time? So then it's like, you know, Krishna's telling you something. You know, to be aware. It's not that now she's guru and I just follow her and things like that. Point is you may hear something from anywhere. That's not a problem. But the thing is you still have to see it according to your acharya. Otherwise, that's where the problem comes. So for us, the founder chart, you always have to bring it back to there. You know, they focus on something like that. Just like any devotee. Somebody focuses more on his chanting, someone more on kirtan, someone more on book distribution, someone more on management, someone more on, you know, taking care of the devotees, some community development, you know, or like that. So, like this, you have so many aspects that we may not, from our perspective, be there, but that's the whole aspect of the Sankirtan. But you still have to see it according to your acharya. So yeah, you'll hear that. So you see that a lot of times also when devotees pick up rituals from the Shris or not. It means, is it ISKCON or does it still have that Shri fragrance? So that's the thing. When it still has that fragrance, means you haven't converted it yet. And then if you find it doesn't convert, then it's just dropped. But if you find it does convert, then it's, you're just more aware. So it doesn't, we're not saying that means it's all right to go here and there. It means that just in your natural progression of things and bumping into people and dealing with Vaishnavas, you know, you're going to meet people, you're going to hear things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, I remember Dorjin Sambhat Kumar Bhattacharya. He was one of the, you know, more leading, you know, priests in the Sri line. I think he was connected, he may have been connected with Tirupati. Very well respected in his day. He's the one that did the Hyderabad installation. So when they were sitting there, and when Prabhupada came in and they started, and they said, you know, they started doing the time, you know, from the time of Lord Brahma, then the second half of Lord Brahma's life, then in, you know, this particular, you know, how you say, you know, cycle of the yugas, and this Kali Yuga, and then he started that whole thing, and Prabhupada turned to Prajumna, you know, because Prajumna, you know, is known as Pandaji. Prabhupada turned to him and said, these are real Brahmins. They know this stuff. So Prabhupada, so, and he had a very nice report of Prabhupada. He's the one that mentioned to Prabhupada that, that he was so sick, and so he came and visited Prabhupada.
Yes.
And then he said, from my understanding, you know, from the teachings of Ramanujacharya, one of the reasons that you could be very sick is because you've established deities of yourself before you left. Hmm. And so as you personally, only who you meet and interact with, then you might have to deal with the karma. But with the deity, it's anybody. It's unlimited. You know, like that. So I'm not sure. Ramanuja, I think, did that with one deity or something like that, just to make sure that they got it right. You know how it is. Sometimes they really don't get it right. So then, and so he was just saying it's very dangerous. You know, and then Prabhupada told him, yes, but this is what I come. Because he, you know, he had these in all the temples. So we're talking about him. So that, you see, he very much appreciated this and that. So we were discussing with him once about, you know, what the Shuktas from the Vedic, you know, should, you know, are important. You know, how much of the Veda or the whole, how many Vedas, this and that. He says, traditionally people learn a whole Veda. But he says, but the point is it, you know, you'll only use a certain amount. So how much you're actually going to use of the Veda, that much is how much you should learn. Otherwise, then you'll learn all these things to spend time and you could be doing other things. You know, so it's a good point. You know, it fits into our, you know, how you say, being practical and all that kind of thing. You know, does that make sense? You know, like that. So you can use that. But at the same time, Prabhupada says, learn this, this, that. That's what you're doing. You're doing that, anything that's there. But it just means that you don't need to follow that tradition of a whole Veda. Because I've had some devotees tell me, no, you have to learn a whole Veda, and that's how all the gurukuls do, and stuff like that. And says, yeah, but, you know, who uses it? Even those gurukuls won't use it. So, you know, we got, you know, they don't have to learn English. They don't have to learn all these other things, you know, like that. They just learn mantras and puja. That's all they learn. So, yeah, okay, fits in. You know, they are going to be there 12 years, you know. So, you know, so then you can catch all that stuff. So we teach how much you'll use. I mean, in our context, you know, others may not use how much we use, but in our context. You know. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to translate it. Otherwise, then if it has that fragrance of that other sampradaya or other lines, then it's an improper conversion. Yes.
This sits in my mind for quite a while, and you explained this point of Founder Charger is that I don't understand what is the meaning of strategic planning. If Prabhupada, that's his mission, he gave us that strategy, it's in his book.
Yes.
So strategic planning, is it meaning, you know, studying Prabhupada, or what is it, you know, the whole discussion is going on? Because tactical, I understand. Operational, people may or may not understand, but
no one understands. These, what's going on now, what you hear about, they don't understand. This, I'm quoting from, you know, one of these high-ranking officers, you know, like generals or, you know, what's just below, you know, majors or brigadiers or these kind of guys like that, who train the officers in, you know, military understanding of the strategy, a strategic plan. You know, who, because for officers, there's a school, and they go and they have to do and they have to get their degrees, and all. That's how you move up. You know, it's not just, you know, sometimes it's, you know, from the battlefield and all that, you might move up because of that, because you've practically applied it. But if you haven't been, you know, you go through the school. And so they made a comment that in present day, the corporate, you know, approach, because now we're hearing strategic planning from corporate. You know, people aren't getting it from, people don't know it's from the military. Strategic plans from the military. They're getting it from the corporate world. And they were saying, because, you know, they'll look at all the books that come out and study and all. It's their field, so, you know, why not, you know? And so they say that it, basically in the whole corporate field, no one gets above the tactical. Even for many of them, they just talk technical. But tactical. And a few may touch on the operational. They just don't deal with it. Because if you want to apply it purely, like if we want to use corporate strategy in its natural form, what's the strategy of business?
Make money.
To make money. So is ISKCON to make money? So does any businessman want to bring this up? Yes, they'll always avoid it. So that's why then they'll move the lower ones up. But the point is in the origin, the military strategy, what's the central or essential duty of kshatriyas?
Protect
the people. So that means protecting the people means it's peaceful. So that is the strategy. So then for us, it goes up to Nav, it goes up to Bhakti. So the whole strategy is given by Prabhupada and the acharyas. Basically, the whole operational is given, and you can give some subdivisions to it. You know, like we preach at universities, you can also preach at a college, you can preach at a secondary school, a primary school, a nursery school, you know, like this, you know, down to one of those.
Middle school mamas.
Japanese, you know, they're teaching 1.5-year-olds. You know, the whole range, or, you know, like that. And so these are subdivisions of applying what Prabhupada's like. So he's already given the operational, and in many cases, he's shown the major aspects of tactical. And even in some places, shown some technical. Yeah. So basically, all we have to do is take and apply it. So this idea is we're making strategy and this and that. It's a nice sentiment that they want to do something engaged in nature and Krishna's service, but as far as they're going to come up with a strategy that Lord Chaitanya gave, it's like, it's a joke. And that's why in 25 years, they haven't been able to actually make it hit the ground. I mean, remember this last festival? I think it was this last festival.
This year?
I think it was this year, unless it was last year. That when they had the big educational conference?
No, that was last year. That was last year. Viplava. That was okay. The previous year.
Okay.
No, every time there's ILS.
Yeah.
Okay, so they had that. And so I was sitting in the back and all that. And I remember at one point someone brought up something about, you know, what's going on and all that. And he says, yeah, we're making progress. It says, now if you talk to, you know, strategic planning, devotees have heard the terms, they're kind of familiar with it and all that. See, we're making progress. It says, that's your progress after 25 years? People have heard the words, you know? And so that's a problem because, you know, it's like, you know, going against the grain. You're not going to get anywhere. So that's the whole thing. And when I went to an ILS, no, not ILS. I don't go to ILS. What is it? SSGG. Yeah. Like that. And then, because they didn't want sannyasi first, they put the sangha first.
Yeah.
So they could put Sangha of GBC, Gurus, and Sannyasis. Yeah, everybody's got to know their place. I'm not joking. It first was Sannyasis and Guru GBC Sangha.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, when they got into the UMA thing, then they, no, it's the Sangha of GBC, because we're the top. Then Gurus, yeah, and then you got the Sannyasis pulling up the rear. Like that. What to do? you know, it's like in America now, there's riots going off, you know, about George Washington was a slaver, so they're pulling down his statues. It's kind of like, oh, my God. You know? And then what about the American Indians, you know? So if you're European, you're African, you're not an American Indian, then you don't belong there. You've stolen their land, so hey, you know. So then, that, you know, somehow or another, that's cool. We'll finesse that. Now it's, oh, George Washington's a bad guy.
Don't stretch too much.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole thing. You don't want to stretch too much. We don't want to be fanatic here. So then the difficulty comes up is that, I mean, when they're presenting the whole thing, you know, how that Sankarsham Prajuman Adi Vasudev, you have all the aspects and all four together, then that makes work, because that's based on what Yudhishthira Maharaj said. You know, you have your focus means you understand the Sambandha Gyan. Then endeavors, your Abhideya, and then the Daivas, your Prayojana. So in focus, then you have to understand what is Sankarsan, what is Prajumna, and what is Aniruddha. And then what is the particular technical work you would do. So you have to know the theory of all four. Then you have Sambandha Gyan, then you have focus. He never explained more than two. I don't remember which two, but I noticed it was only two. I was going to ask him afterwards. It says, do you only explain these two because you feel that everybody here is so unqualified they can't understand more than two aspects?
Who did this?
It means what's his name? You know, our man who's leading the charge.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know him.
Yeah. Yes. So, nice guy, committed, really giving his time and effort and everything like that. But because of the corporate only takes the strategic planning and uses it how much is useful for business. So that means they won't use the whole thing. They'll only use what's worthy for business. So more the art aspect rather than the dharma aspect. You know? Just like in Japan, they'll take Musashi and apply it to business. You know. But because they have more of that kind of, you know, understanding of the Tao and stuff like that, they can go further into it. Like that, China, they'll take Sun Tzu, you know, and apply that. So, you know, nowadays they can't really use Machiavelli, they'll kind of get a little grumpy, so strategic planning, that's okay.
Machiavelli is the same as Stalin used.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's effective.
Oh yeah,
it's neat. Machiavelli's neat.
Neat, yes.
It's just, you know, you do what needs to get done, and that's it. You don't
whatever
consider
it means. It doesn't matter.
So that's the problem. Is it's weak because it doesn't consider actually art of dharma.
You know, three or four years ago, we decided to have strategic planning for the Chinese yatra, and everybody got so excited. The key resort areas and the different formations and the teams and the committees. I kid you not, Maharaj, we have a meeting every Saturday morning online. We're still talking about it. We're still talking about the organization of the strategy.
Yeah, because that's all they have, is they just have this idea of an organization. But if you want to do administration, and then you have to have administrators, right? Or, if you're using the corporate, you have to actually have Vaishyas. Or, guys that have MBA, Shudras who have MBA, that can work for those Vaishyas. You know? Or you have to have a bureaucrat. And generally you see all bureaucrats are highly educated in the field. Like that. You know, they have some sociology degree, this, that. They can't just be any old guy. And so then, if you look at it, then who is qualified? On the material platform, who's qualified to take part in that form of strategic planning? Two or three, and they're the ones that don't take part because it's not practical. All these people, none of them are qualified for that. But if you follow the strategic planning as given by Srila Prabhupada, then everybody on the GBC is qualified because it's a matter of the preaching, it's a matter of the philosophy, it's a matter of our culture. That's what it is, because our strategy is bring everybody in contact with Krishna. You see the seven purposes of ISKCON. That's your practical strategy. Ultimately, everyone remembers Krishna, no one forgets. And so therefore, then that's the whole thing. You know, everybody's serving Krishna. You know, these basic fundamentals of the thing. And then how are we going to apply? That's these seven. These seven, so that's your strategy. And now, how to apply those seven? That's your operational. Temples, farms, book distribution, college preaching, you know, community programs, you know, all these things, restaurants. These are the operational. Then the tactical, run the, manage the temple. He'd give president, you know, how you say, secretary and treasurer. He didn't give vice president. We drop one of them off, but you know, they're supposed to, these are three. If you want to have vice president also, hey, great. But you have these three. And then he'll give some certain things, even technical on that. Then the rest of it you deal. If you're a manager, you can do it. Farms, he mentioned lots of self-sufficiency. Like that, the restaurants, how it's all prashad and all that, and you know, the president. So he's even given a lot of tactical and some technical. Like on cooking, he's given technical on how to cook. So therefore, we just have to apply that. The strategy's there. So therefore, here's the strategy. Here's the operation. How are we fitting this in? How are we taking? But as it sounds like, is you have all this, and then above that, you have the GBC. It's kind of like, no, the GBC's part of this aspect. It's an operational aspect. You have the GBC. It's one of the bodies. You have, you know, like that. Because they're to see that everybody else is dealing. So, in other words, the GBC is seeing that the strategy and the operation is seen in its proper context. So your tactical and technical application, let's say the president, is seen in context of how his temple is part of the Sankirtan mission to bring everyone to Krishna. That's the GBC's business. And so therefore you want to add on a regional secretary or national councils or regional councils or, you know, whatever's the latest, you know, and greatest
name. Zonal supervisor.
Zonal supervisor, yeah.
With the potential to become a GBC member if you be a
college. And you have to go through to the GBC
college.
Yeah, for 6 weeks.
No.
Well, let's stretch it, but it's actually this.
But keep stretching it because it'll never work.
And then you have homework for 1 year.
Yeah.
And who's qualified to run those things? The people who are running them, they themselves haven't managed anything in their life. And then, you know, what are you talking about?
Again, they don't have those degrees.
Yeah. So the whole point is that it's just, yeah, whatever. You can do something. It's nice that they want to make people qualified, but you're qualified by associating with those who are doing. Like that. So and then if they want to give some pointers, great. So then you're going to have is all of those are on that higher platform. That means they don't deal with the tactical and the technical. That's the thing. They're going to say, yeah, GBC strategy and all these things, or they're operational, and the temple president is that, and tactical, and then, you know, like this. Fine. But that means you only deal in that area. So your business is to see that anything below operational is seeing its connection to operational and strategy. And the same thing with the temple president, he's got to see that. He's tactically running the temple, technically everybody he's doing and everybody knows what they're doing, and he's, you know, it's his business to try to see what's the operational and the strategy. And that's why the GBC and these other, you know, whatever it is, secretaries or supervisors and all that are for. But they think that they're micromanagers. Would that go very well? Would you get a job if you put on your resume micromanager? Like, no, you wouldn't get in the door, huh?
Salesman.
Okay, you could be a salesman.
Maybe Microsoft manager.
Yes.
That is. It sounds good.
Yeah. So in other words, the whole thing is what's lower they've jacked up the higher, and then the ultimate managerial authority. The point is means in a kingdom, who's the ultimate managerial authority? It's the Brahmin, not the king. But the Brahmin doesn't run the kingdom. The king runs the kingdom. But the king's authority means he is the managerial authority. So who's the ultimate authority of this manager? That's the GBC. But to take it that, oh no, we're just managers like everybody else. So if they're, then that means if something's going wrong in the temple, it's totally their fault. They should be responsible. But no, it's the temple president's fault. So then they're just making it, but then that means they're in charge, he's the Shudra, he takes the rap, they don't. So then this managerial system is not used by anybody on the planet. I mean, nobody.
We use it.
We use it, of course, but I'm just saying, because there's always the things what we're doing, then there's the real world and what's going on, really like that. No one in the real world would use that. Absolutely no one. Like even NGOs won't use it. You know? God. Even Mother Teresa wouldn't use it.
I see, like, some temple president whom I talk to, they say, I know how to deal with all of them. Is if they point out anything on you, you just dump it on them. You take care. I'm going up. Everybody's quiet. Nobody will disturb you. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So then ultimate managerial authority means full authority, zero responsibility. It's like ultimate perfection. It's like when I said those guys going to Calcutta on the train for the communist rally. I ask, why are you, what are you marching for? We want, better pay. Okay. They said, okay, so that you get some better. What's your ultimate goal? What would be the perfection? Full pay, no work. So that's the cheating propensity.
In Israel, they have a minister. It's actually a appointed post. It's called minister without responsibility.
Okay. And what does he do?
We don't know. He just gets the salary. He attained perfection.
Yeah, yeah. It's like in the big companies, they have the executive vice presidents. They have no response, nothing. They just shift them to the side, but they don't want them to make trouble.
It's just a post.
Yeah. So that's a difficulty. It's not really understood. Now, of course, I'm not sure if you could make this presentation to someone involved in all that, and they wouldn't... their head wouldn't explode into 10,000 pieces. But the point is the reality is you can talk this stuff to people who actually do manage the material world, and they fully understand it. So, that's my experience.
Yes. Even like when I was just 2 or 3 years into college preaching and all, we were maintaining our place, and the first thing when I became the head boy or like that, first thing I did is I just removed all the management committees, because in every day they waste 2-3 hours just discussing. So then everything went on very nicely. It's very easy to understand if we actually practically do so.
So that's the thing, somehow the bureaucracy is never the lead. I mean, if bureaucracy is what's leading, then you get kind of like what Kafka was talking about. Man, that was the thing. Just this unlimited bureaucracy that just takes over and controls everything. So, it's already been discussed.
You learn from history.
Yes, you learn from history. You're supposed to, but yeah. And if that doesn't, that's too far back, then then Orwell, he dealt with it. Yeah, this material world is the material world. It works the way it works. So you either work with Krishna's laws, or you try to make your own, and the modes of nature will still control you, and it'll come out the way history says. So the advantage is because we're devotees, then that's why things go on. It means you have to have faith in Krishna, because for our managerial abilities, this society shouldn't be going on. But Krishna's running it, so that's how you know. So he's engaging it. This is the nature, they want to do this, they're trying to do for Krishna, they're fully absorbed in it. So then, hey, it works. They're engaged in Krishna's service. They're getting closer to Krishna. But as far as actual management goes, it'll never work. Because as you see with time, that upper portion gets bigger and bigger. Because no GBC actually wants to do the work. Right, when you get down to it, you got to do this work. Oh, I'll need an assistant. So now you have assistant GBCs. Then, the assistant GBCs, then they need the supervisor. And then the regional supervisor then will have regional secretaries. And then, end of that, you have the president. So all those things, probably just you have the GBC and you have the temple president. You don't need any of that in between. It's like every temple I go to, the GBC hasn't been there for 2 years. Every 2 years they come. So, where are they? So that's the whole thing. If you're just moving around in your zone like that, then very often you're there. But somehow or another, therefore you need all these, as it goes down, 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 down. And if you are a manager as such, not a Brahmin who's then, you know, leading the preaching and vision and everything like that, you're supposed to retire at 50. Kshatriyas retire from Kshatriya stuff at 50. But Brahmins don't stop being Brahmins. You know, when everybody goes to Vanaprastha, they take up brahminical activities. You know what I'm saying? So Brahmacharya is Vanaprastha Sannyas, that's all brahminical. Only in Grihastha Ashram, then you'll divide the four. But otherwise, you don't divide it when you get up to there. So therefore, that, because Prabhupada said GBC is for life, that means it can't be restricted by this management element. It has to be a brahminical. And that's another thing. You ask, well, so what are they? They can't say. In fact, because they can't say, just throw out Varnashram, so therefore then you don't have to worry about it. But this is the beauty of it. Because it's devotional service, everything goes on. So you don't have to get an anxiety. It just means that, in other words, when it's like this, things won't run as good as they will. And as soon as people get it together, then it'll be fantastic. So even on a bad day, it's still okay. That's the, you know, it's like what Prabhupada said, you know, you have some karma, you're supposed to get killed by a, you know, stabbed by a knife and killed, but instead you just get a little cut on your finger. You know, Krishna's taking care, so everything goes on. He protects no matter what. So everything goes on, despite all these things. And then you see those that actually do get in and do some management stuff, and do organize, you know, as is, then they have amazing stuff going on. Like we were saying, you know, typical example we say is Radhanath. He doesn't manage anything, but he's got one of the most dynamic, you know, zones in the world. Maximum amount of people becoming devotees, maximum amount that's serious, maximum amount doing things, biggest projects, biggest money, biggest management, and he doesn't manage anything. So that's my point, is if you act as a GBC, this is the result you can get. But if you micromanage, then you end up with these temples where there's more deities than there are devotees. Like that. So take your pick. You want to follow Prabhupada's system, or you want to follow this new made-up, you know, corporate, you know. So the worst thing is it's one thing they're following the corporate. At least there was tons of money, but they didn't know what to do with it because they didn't know how to properly engage in Krishna service. But there's not tons of money either.
There's no money.
Yeah. So then the whole point is then what's the point? You know, it's like the Prabhupada gave the example, you know, Prabhupada tells the story of that Brahmin. You know, he's going and he's kind of out and, you know, no water. He's so thirsty and there's nothing around. And so he comes upon a Muslim's house. And he asks for some water. And so then the guy goes in the house and brings out and says, all I have left is half a glass of water. You know, all the water's finished. So then, you know, he accepted and drank the water. And then he's lamenting. Says, you know, by drinking the water of the Muslim, I've lost my caste. And the worst part is I haven't even quenched my thirst. You know? So, like that, you know, it's like, for us, you know, it's like, so what did he get? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the whole point is that because the approach is corporate, it's not actual strategic planning, therefore it's already going to be limited. Then you're applying. Now you could say the corporate management could work if you're dealing with people who their nature is working within the corporate field. So you have those professionals that they are either businessmen themselves or they are middle managers. Because for the guy in the cubicle in the floor, you don't discuss corporate with them. Just he has his job. So it's only the bosses. You know, the board of directors, the CEO, the board of directors, and the middle management. They're the only ones that deal with it. And so the point is all those middle managers, they've either come up through the company, you know, they have the potential to go forward, or they're MBAs, or, you know, something like this, so they have that. And so then it can be applied. So now here you have this. Who could do good at corporate? You know, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he came from corporate. But you see, he applies in his zone. He's got more money than anybody.
you know, more connections.
Yeah, that, he's got that, he does that. He's also got one of the biggest book distributions, you know, between you know, Juhu and Mayapur. They're the biggest in the world. You know, so he does big things. His projects are big. Everything's big. So you know, like that. But he comes from that. But you see, he himself is very simple. Does puja and stuff like that. Wherever he is, he always does Mangalartik. Very, very unassuming person like that. But he knows how to use corporate, and it works. And you see, so many of his managers and all that kind of have that business nature. You know, they know how to collect. They know how to deal and do that kind of thing. And they engage a lot of people that way. So he's using it, the practical. This other is that because he is qualified, his people are qualified. But this other, you're going to take a group of Brahmins and then somehow or another get them to understand corporate? It's like, forget it. It's not going to work. And when it's just a bad interpretation of strategic, which is not a full understanding of the complete Varnashram system, you know, and which is then, you know, not a full understanding of bhakti. So bhakti being the origin, that means the concept of strategy is already part of it. You know, it's already part, because every bhakti includes everything. So all karma and yajna is already included in this perfection there. So we can explain bhakti in the context of strategy. But then the point is you have to know bhakti. They're starting with corporate and trying to shoehorn bhakti into that rather than start with bhakti and then see how, you know, how do these things apply. And so because of that, the attitude's wrong, because as you said, the opening of the Gita, the spirit is the right thing. The attitude's wrong, the jhum is wrong. None of it'll work. Because you see, as they come in and they flex their muscles. I haven't met a temple president yet that really likes this new GBC. They might like individual GBCs who don't do that. But anybody who's following this new corporate GBC, but I haven't met a temple president or project leader that likes any of them, or even thinks that they're qualified, or that they're even doing any kind of job, let alone a good job. And then individuals who actually follow how Prabhupada said GBC, he's not the manager, he encourages, he's a leader, he inspires those who do have that managerial ability. You know, in other words, who can manage an operational thing, he encourages them and lets them go. And then whatever his experience, some of them were managers, some not, then they can give direction. But as long as they're doing, why would they get involved in the detail? Their zones are booming. It's like obvious, night and day, you can just see it. So that's the difficulty. It's not that, oh, this is just all talk and theory and all that. You can see it working. So all it is that their strategic planning is just interpreted in the context of corporate. And the people who are involved aren't that big in corporate. You know, in the West, okay, you have 2,000 people working for you, you're fairly big. But in India, if you don't have 10,000 working for you, you're 2,000, that's nothing.
Taylor.
Hmm?
Even Taylor's have
2,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Taylor. The same also, it's not big, 2,000.
Yeah, it's not a big thing.
India is quite huge.
Huh?
India is a huge factory.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but for India, that's not very big. You know, and for the military, that's you have millions of people working for you. No, that's 2,000. And so then, that's the thing, is that you're taking someone with that kind of experience in the Western environment without any of the Vedic cultural understanding, and then trying to shoehorn them, well, actually crowbar it, not even shoehorn, but crowbar it into the devotional, into the Sankirtan mission. It's not that you can't learn things from it, but to use it as a structure when we already have a structure. Because why would it ever work if we already have a structure? Why would Krishna allow them to replace Prabhupada's structure? He's the founder of Charit, he's established it, so why would they be able to do it? But, you know, they're trying to do something for Krishna, and so then they try. So in that way, then you can respect that they're trying, they have the position, they have the authority. You see, whenever you deal with the jiva, they have that potency to them. You see, it's that shakti is there. But the point is unless you direct it appropriately, then the shakti won't be properly, fully realized. You know, so they're all great guys. You know? Guys meaning the contemporary usage of guy, meaning it doesn't matter for men or women.
I mean, it's pretty amazing in the past how you could manage 150 devotees to run book distribution, collect money, and do deity worship just by getting a good class.
Yeah, of course. That's the whole point.
Like a good class.
You just preached, and then it all happened. That's why you'd see is that you'd have temples where, you know, by varna, you can see some are Brahmins, some are Kshatriyas, some are Vaishyas. But the point is they all would run. It didn't matter. As long as they were solid in devotional service, the leadership, everyone is aspired. And that was one temple, 150. Now, some people don't have 150 in their whole zone. If you count the temples, you know, in the institution, you count the community, but you can't really count. It's just like in Sydney, okay, they got 500 devotees in the community, but no one's in control of that. No one's organizing that. So they can only claim the ones that are in the temple.
Which is about 15.
Yeah. Like that. And so that's the whole thing. It's gone from 150 down to 15 by this new strategic planning, you know, because we want to get rid of the gurus and this and that and all these things and all the bad things that happened during the
dark ages.
Yes. What do they call that? I call it the Raj, but the zonal acharyas, yes, and all that kind of thing. Yes, we have to put that behind us. That was the dark ages and all that kind of thing like that. But the whole point is that, you know, they throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's no baby. You know, there's no tub, there's no water, nothing. But they're just, you know, strategizing on, you know, what do we want? What do we want to see? You know, you need a baby. So, you just take that part that's the problem. Basically, if you remove the false ego, it would work great. You know, it was the most prosperous time within the movement. You know, an individual still now, as I said, do amazing stuff like Radhanath Maharaj, Nanachal Maharaj, Shivram Maharaj. They still do great stuff. You know, TKG went to, you know, China and then, you know, made something amazing.
Well, even today, if you look at Texas, that's all he has, really, Texas.
Yeah.
In Fiji, yeah, it's like strong as ever.
Yeah, because it's there. Because you see, is that the people who can do it. So it's like in Chopati, who deals with finances? Who does all the managing? It's the community, not the temple devotees. Mm-hmm. Who built the temple? Where is it? Houston or Dallas?
Houston.
It was the community. So it's the same principle. That's what works. You know, it's these are eternal principles. You follow them, they work. You don't follow, you come up with your own idea. Draw whatever you like on the board, doesn't mean it'll work.
We had the preaching center maintained by the communities. It was prosperous.
Yeah, that's where it comes. I mean, the point is remember in Chopati, the grihasthas were mentioning to me. And these are the leading ones. These are the guys that they do have 10,000 workers in there. Their concern, you know, a group of them sitting, some of them more, like that. You know, so one of them in his day at that time, he was the 10th richest person in India. And Indians are rich, you know, so he was 10th in India at the time. What he is now, I don't know.
Was that Mafatlal?
Yeah. So he was one of them. And they were explaining that the brahmacharis in the temple, they respect them basically practically on the same level as the sannyasis. But, you know, there's etiquette. They're brahmacharis. So that's the whole thing. The temple is just doing temple stuff. Preaching, deity worship, the programs, the sadhana, and like that. And then they, as communities, take them as an ideal, someone to follow, someone like that. And so then they come in, they manage the place, they get the money, they pay the bills, they do all these kind of things. But how it's run, you know, what's important, that the temple says. So they have the president. They say what, you know, like what's important. So they put themselves in a junior position to this. But now it's like, oh, we don't need temples, we just need community, but no one's cultivating or training community. So you end up with nothing. And then, very well. So they're very straightforward. You can see, here it's working, it follows tradition. Here it's not following tradition, it's not working.
Mm.
It's just that, I mean, it's just like, even we take in the corporate world, someone comes in, there's a problem, someone comes in to fix something, right? You bring in some guy to fix, a new CEO, a new this, a new that. Then today, he's got 90 days to make, to show some serious turnaround. Back in the 90s, you had 180 days. They give you 6 months. Like that. It's been 25 years. So one should possibly...
It's 50 times... 180 days.
Yeah, so that means it's 40 times more than what you should have gotten. And as you get now to the contemporary, because they're all talking it up today, then it gets even less. So it's like, you know, it's 100 times more than what they should have been given. So then the problem comes up is that then at what point are we going to say this is not working? So does that make sense? So in other words, we understand the reality of what's going on and where it's from and what it actually is. And at the same time, we understand the reality of devotional service in that the power of bhakti is such that it's beyond all these. You know, it's like we were discussing it yesterday. It's just someone who's taking up devotional service, they're already cultivating the other side of liberation. But... As we see, because then someone may say, okay, well, that's there and that's here. But as we also remember, is that the acharyas point out that bhava extends down to shraddha. You know, so that means that you have that overlap. It's still within the transcendental, but it will extend down to our conditioned state right now. We have that faith. Then we're working on that transcendental platform. And by doing the service without attachment and all that, then we're becoming purified, going towards liberation. And as Krishna's pleased, we're giving up material desires, so we're going to, you know, so both by the Naishkarmya and by Krishna's pleasure, then we're moving forward, you know, in the liberation, and we're moving forward in the devotional. So they're going together, but one's working within the transcendental, which is actually part of that, but is connecting to our conditioning. And the other one, what works up to conditioning, when conditioning ends. Liberation is when conditioning ends. But bhava is extended down, he's even able to engage the conditioning and bring it to that, because otherwise, how would one get there? Does that make sense? So one shouldn't get disturbed, because, you know, everyone's they're engaged in doing something for Krishna. And so that's the actual purpose. You do that and all that. Yes.
I'm thinking a few years back, it was very popular to talk about anartha nivritti.
Mm-hmm.
But then devotees realized, you know, senior people, that it's not a goal.
Yes.
So
yes.
Now they talk about artha pravritti, means attaining the supreme.
Right.
But as you describe it now, which I never thought about it, it happens both simultaneously.
Yes.
Anartha nivritti happens on this side.
Right.
And there, the artha pravritti is developing.
Yes,
so
they're both going on.
Yes.
It's not that until anartha pravritti, until you've gotten rid of all material, then only spiritual starts. Mm. That's why we don't care for prayaschitta. Because the point is what's the problem? They've given up, they're not doing something devotional. Stop doing that and then continue where we are. Well, by falsification, we'll take it if there's one fault. It's all, they're not a devotee. Oh, he was like the pujari. He's been the pujari for the last 10 years, and then he falls down with the brahmacharini that comes to wash paraphernalia. Then, oh, he was never a brahmin. He was never a pujari. He's never a brahmin. And so, therefore, we can, you know, tar and feather him, and you know, draw and quarter him, and insult him, and this and that, because he's not a brahmin. Therefore, I can fully satisfy my need for mundane envy through the thing of justice. And so, therefore, you know, it's fully my right. But the point is that's just falsification, is that you find one fault. 10 years he's doing this nice, and there's this one fault. But we'll take that fault as more important than 10 years of devotional service and brahminical activity. So that means we're not seeing actually with proper vision. We're seeing with material vision.
Oh, this is pure Christianity. Nowhere else it's like that.
Yeah. Yeah, even the Jews, it's like everybody, Abraham did something wrong,
Moses,
everybody did something wrong, and they're still the patriarchs.
So nobody removes their statues, they're no statues.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like, you know, what are you doing with the statues?
No?
No.
Even Lenin's still there in Russia some places.
Yeah.
Let's respect the guy. Mao is there in China.
Mao is on every note, man.
They worship the
guy. He killed 70 million of his own people. They still worship him.
Yeah.
Less population. Less
country. Yeah, yeah.
More food.
More food.
More oxygen.
Yeah,
that's
fine. But we have to remember, hopefully the... Okay, a little end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jaya Jaya Gaura Premanandini.